Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept this radio apostolate going for over 40 years now. And we certainly appreciate it. One of the ways you can help us out financially will be at our upcoming golf outing. That'll take place on Monday, October the 14th. We're headed back to Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. And it's always a great day. Somehow or other, Kathleen McCarthy manages to always get great weather. We'll have lunch and dinner with golf in between, silent auction at dinner. And you can get all the details at our website at inhissign.com. You'll see the blurb at the bottom of the page there, along with a link to download a flyer with all the information on how to register for golf, just come for dinner, and most importantly, how to sponsor a hole in the golf course, one of the meals. Whatever you can do to help us out is certainly appreciated. And I'll be playing golf as well again this year. Look forward to seeing all of you out there. Kind of in a hurry here because I want to get to my guest. My guest today is Daniel O'Connor. He's an adjunct professor of philosophy and religion at State University of New York Community College, where he has taught for 7 years, and that may be a little bit longer now, but for over a decade serving as an educator. He's honored to have instructed thousands of students in courses on philosophy, existentialism, Catholic catechesis, comparative religion, mathematics, physics, and more. And that and more includes being an author of a number of books, has a YouTube channel that goes by his name, Daniel O'Connor, as well as his blog. I think it's dsdoconnor.com. Welcome back, Daniel. It's great to have you on.
Great to be back on, Ken. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Daniel and I, over the last 6 months, have exchanged a number of emails. I was trying to get him on after he had written his book, Only Man Bears His Image. And just because his teaching schedule and what have you in the spring, and then we were lined up for July, and his unfortunately his mother passed away. Again, condolences on your mother's passing, Daniel.
And thank
then, you. Yeah, and then somehow or other, we managed to get together on 9/11 of all days, and you know, Daniel was apologizing for having to put me off a couple of times, but God knew today was the day. He knew thousands of years ago that today was the day that we were going to get together. So I'm just happy we could find a time to fit your schedule. So welcome.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. It's really an honor to be back on, and you know, it is. You know, providential, I think, in a kind of dark way, but one that will work out to the good,
yeah,
for God's glory in due time. But you know, you're thinking about 9/11. I mean, that's the one day that we all remember where we were. I remember, you know, being in high school then, and I don't think any of us alive now can think of another day that we recall. You know, I suppose those who were alive during, you know, Pearl Harbor, remember that day, but there's not too many there's fewer and fewer left that would remember that day well. So with 9/11, you know, today here, we're looking to the future with the next big, huge event that's coming, and I don't know the future, so I don't pretend to know that. But when I look at what's going on in the news today, there's something brewing just right under the surface, and it's like a volcano, and it promises to explode in a manner so existentially massive that it's difficult for us to even comprehend it because of how much it's simmering under the surface now. But you know, since the 2017 New York Times report about this UFO program, and then a few years later, the David Grush coming out and saying there's aliens everywhere, and now this year we've got Luis Elizondo, a big Pentagon official, well, former military official, saying that aliens are here. And now it was just announced there's another big military official coming out next year saying that the aliens are here. Like, this is going to be utterly earth-shattering. Whatever your views on it happen to be, this is something that's going to be the next earth-shattering thing, I think. So we need to assess it from a fully Catholic lens, which is what I tried to do with this book, Only Man Bears His Image.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I have the book on my Kindle, and it's 750 pages. And for those
that finished it yet?
No, I haven't finished. But I took your advice. You don't have to read it all. You don't have to read it cover to cover, right? We can read sections.
Yeah.
And they're kind of
reference work.
Yeah, they're standalone. And but the point being is, if you've not not heard of Daniel, or you've not read any of his work, the man is thorough, if nothing else. There's nothing left behind when he sets his mind to something. And so how long has it been that you've been, that you worked on that book? It's not something that just came together in a couple of months, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was several years of research. It was a massive project. So, and before I even say that, I'll quickly note for those who are now fearing how they could possibly get up to speed on this, I'm almost done. I don't know. I don't have a release date yet, but I'm almost done with a much shorter version of this book. And I'm kind of doing the same thing with this topic that I did with The Divine Will many years ago when I first started writing. But I wrote a huge book, kind of Sanctity, and then I compressed it into a tiny book, kind of History, several months later. So with this, I knew I needed to get it all out there with Only Man Bears His Image. I knew I needed to get a reference work out there that so that this deception could be definitively refuted. But for the last, since I released this book almost a year ago, I've been working on a much shorter version to compress the basic message into a vastly shorter package. So I don't have an absolute release date set just yet, but stay tuned. Soon I will have a much shorter version of what we're talking about today released, and it'll also be in an audiobook version. So it'll be much more approachable, hopefully.
No.
But yeah, this book, Only Man Bears His Image, it's been in the works for several years. I'm probably like most Catholics, where this is not something I ever bothered thinking about, because it was just kind of one of a number of crazy things out there that was not worth my time. But then the 2017 New York Times report came, and you'll hear many other testimonies, ironically, similar to mine here, where that was kind of the year where suddenly they started listening, okay, something's going on here, and it's a problem. There are two groups, kind of those who saw that as a problem and those who saw it as a glorious opportunity, like an announcement to the new era is upon us thanks to the aliens. I was among the former group who saw this as a problem, so that's when I kind of perked up my interest. But then a few years later, I think it was, I can't remember the date, but like Obama came out and said that new religions are going to form because of the revelation of aliens. That's when I realized, okay, I got to start writing against this because this is diabolical. And I think that was 2020, if I recall correctly. I think it was early 2020. And that's when I started really researching and writing against this. And I've been working on this book, Only Man Bears His Image, ever since.
Yeah, and it's all obvious because of all the detail that's in it. And, I remember as a kid, I didn't realize you were as young as you are. But... being a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s and, the sci-fi movies and, the UFOs and these craters they were finding in Arizona or wherever, and, always kind of thought that there were, that the possibility existed that there were extraterrestrials. And then, when push came to shove and it seems to become more prominent now, I think your book is perfect timing. And when you do read it, and the parts that I've read, it becomes pretty obvious that they really don't exist, and that if anything that comes along that is like that, is probably going to be demonic more than anything else, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And we've got to keep it simple here, because there's so many other extremely nuanced theories coming out. Oh, there. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're there. Sorry.
Am I still with you?
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep. I hear you. Okay. Sorry. Something happened there in the line. Oh, so yeah. Anyway, the There's all sorts of, every day there's a new theory coming out, but we have to keep it simple. That only, and that's why I called this the title of my book, Only Man Bears His Image. And it's funny because, and I obviously never planned it out this way, but, you know, my mission, I mean, my life is Catholicism, but my mission has been the revelations of Jesus to the servant of God, Luis Picaretta. That's been my mission for over a decade now. And this really dovetails with this, with that, in an extraordinary way, because I see this as the battle of the fiat against the anti-fiat. And we'll see how much time we have to get to delve into that today. But with these supposed revelations of the extraterrestrials, the more research I did, the more I realized that the message of the ufologists and the ET, the alien promoters out there, it always gets down to their own perverse twist on the fiat. They always, and this is something I'm going to really emphasize in my new book coming out, within the next couple of months here. They always emphasize this dire need to make the choice. All we have to do, they always say this, all the biggest ufologists and ET promoters, they say, we have to make the choice. All we have to do is open our minds and our hearts to what the aliens want to say to us, to give them our yes. And that is so diabolical because it is simply a reenactment of the first deception. And what was the first deception? A non-human intelligence appeared to Eve. A supposedly speaking rational serpent. And Eve should have known that only she and her husband at that point were made in God's image. They were the only things in the whole creation made in the image of God. And that is true to this day. Of all physical creation, obviously I'm not talking about the angels here, of all physical creation, only the descendants of Adam and Eve are made in God's image. So when something else comes to us, purporting to be a material being, an extraterrestrial, for example, giving us this knowledge, this new knowledge, this radical leap in evolution, which is what the ET promoters also say, and they always emphasize, all we have to do is say yes to it. That is the anti-fiat. And that is the stark opposite of the most important message in private revelation today, which I believe is the fiat of Jesus to the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And it's really startling when you look at this religion, is what it really has become, this religion of alien belief. It is all about the anti-fiat. And in fact, some of the clearest teachings we have about this topic come from none other than Luisa Picaretta's volumes. And maybe we'll get to that today as well. But I never planned this out. But it's becoming clearer and clearer the more reading I do, that this is part of the final battle between God and the devil.
Amen. And in between watching your videos, reading your blog, and reading the book, you don't realize how much of this extraterrestrial talk is actually going on unless you're plugged into some of these sources. So, a while back, Joe Rogan even had somebody that's supposed to be a Catholic theologian, I think, talking about UFOs and ET and what have you. And, as you mentioned in the video, he's got the largest podcast in the world, so he's got quite an audience that he's promoting this extraterrestrial stuff. And then, also the NHI, non-human intelligence. So it's not just ETs. It can be other non-human entities that'll supposedly have some kind of intelligence. But I didn't realize until I was listening to you that, it's actually been encoded in United States law. Through the Schumer Amendment that you mentioned, that they talk about NHI. So, this isn't like when we were kids and we maybe there's UFOs and maybe there's ETs out there. There's people that apparently that either firmly believe this or plan to use it in order to bring about some diabolical stuff that we may be blindsided by.
Yeah, and that's why we can't ignore this anymore. And I, you know, I grew up 80s and 90s, and I, you know, I was probably like any kid then, thinking, oh, there's UFOs, that's exciting. I better keep an eye out for them. I became a devout Catholic, praise God, thanks to a radical conversion in my teenage years. And after that point, I never thought about it again. But now we really have to think about it, as much as I'd rather not, because it's ridiculous. It's not something I want to think about, but it's you know, we can't bury our heads in the sand. This is as mainstream as it can possibly get. So to those people who are thinking, oh, whatever, this is silly, I'll just ignore it, you know, I agree with you, it's silly in one sense. But in the other sense, we've got the federal government, you know, creating bills around this. You can't get more mainstream than that. So we better address this head on, and frankly, we better take a side. You can't be undecided for too long on this, because if you're undecided for too long, you're going to get swept away. They're sitting on the fence. You can sit on the fence for a while, but then it's going to shake when the great shaking comes in the days ahead. And if you're still sitting on the fence when the fence is shaken by God's will or his permissive will, then it's like dumb chance that decides which side you fall on. So you're much better off deciding which side of the fence you want to be on while you still got your wits about you, while you can still assess the matter indifferently and prayerfully before, you know, just waiting for events to come where your head will be spinning so fast there's no knowing what direction it'll be pointing in once it stops spinning. So, yeah, this is coming. You know, there's no sign of this diminishing in federal government legislation. This is bipartisan, which is a guarantee that it won't go anywhere. We've got Democrats and Republicans equally zealous about discovering the extraterrestrials here behind the so-called UFO, or now they're calling it UAP phenomenon. We've got the big whistleblowers I mentioned in the beginning here, Elizondo. You know, this isn't just some intrigue book. This is the number one New York Times bestseller, is Luis Elizondo saying that there's aliens here and that this is a radical change of everything on Earth. And you got to give the ET promoters some credit in at least accurately assessing how monumental of a shift this would be. If it were true, and it's not, but if it were true, then yes, I'll agree in theory that the revelation of aliens would be among the biggest revelations in history. It would be earth-shattering in every sense of the word. For a non-Christian, it would be the biggest revelation in history by far. For a Christian, it would be the biggest revelation since that of Jesus Christ. So this changes absolutely everything. And if it were true, this changes absolutely everything. Now, as it turns out, if you actually discern this in accordance with Catholic teaching, scriptural teaching, basic science, or even private revelation, every single way you can discern this in truth points to the same conclusion. It's a diabolical deception. So in realizing that now, we're going to be much better off than hoping to stumble upon that conclusion once the times become even more confusing still.
Yeah, and the flip side of that, Daniel, I'm thinking is, you know, how this could possibly play out, and if the powers that be decide to go down this route, you know, those of us that are say it's the government of the United States decides that they're going to accept some leader that they claim to be the extraterrestrial, it's going to be tough not to be a part of, like, we're going to be forced to be a part of it, but to know that what's going on is diabolic and to stick to the faith, as opposed to going, you know, we may be forced to go along. This may be where the martyrdom and persecution comes in. Because people that are Catholic Christian that have done their research, done their homework, and know that this is a hoax, that the persecution is probably going to come to those that don't go along with the rest of the gang here.
Oh, I think so, it'll be deemed fake news and hate speech or anything if you speak against this once it is actually unleashed. Which is why it's so essential that we get the truth out now while it's still legal to do so. And if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which, by the way, is what the Catechism is expressly commenting on in its paragraph on the Antichrist, it speaks of the lying signs and wonders of a strong delusion so as to deceive those who deserve to be deceived, as in Augustine said, commenting on that. And this, I have racked my brain and I've done as much research as I can to try and find a single other phenomenon that could as accurately fit what St. Paul prophesied in Scripture for the Antichrist. And I cannot find a single other thing that even comes close to the ET deception. It has been prepared, the groundwork has been laid for it. And this is where it gets really fascinating, and as I alluded to several minutes ago, something I never planned, but the groundwork has been laid, especially since the servant of God, Luisa Picaresa, died.
Right.
So Jesus constantly told her, you are a victim soul, and you're holding something back. You are holding, and there were many things that her sufferings were holding back. You know, like, for example, she held back the legalization of divorce, which they tried to legalize in 1902. And, like, you'll see tons of messages in Luisa's volumes throughout that year about Jesus saying, you must suffer to hold this back. And because you're suffering, you will hold this back. He prophesied that. He said, this won't pass. And it didn't. But if it weren't for Luisa, you would, every student would know that divorce was legalized in 1902 at the Hague Convention on Divorce. But it didn't. And because of Luisa, no one knows about the 1902 Hague Convention on Divorce. Her sufferings held that chastisement back. And it wasn't legalized until when? Until after she died.
Yep.
But that wasn't the only thing that her sufferings were holding back, I believe. I believe that she was actually part of holding back the Great Deception itself. And if you look at when the UFO deception actually started, it started several months, just a few months, actually, after Luisa died. She died in April 1947. The UFO deception started in June 1947. And from that month forward, the world has never been the same.
It's incredible when you see the timeline that's put together, and even the recent things that have been going on just with Luisa's cause for canonization. And so before we've got about 4 minutes here before we're going to take a break, Daniel, and rather than get into some of the specifics in the five parts of the book where you break it down and refute this ET deception from multiple fronts. So I first was introduced to Daniel in August of 2021. I came in to do the radio show on Wednesday, and there was a flyer here for the Charismatic Conference that was going to be in Wildwood, New Jersey, that Kathleen McCarthy has frequently spoken to. And on the flyer there was this guy, Daniel O'Connor, who I had never heard of. And when I started looking at who he was, that was my introduction to Luisa Picaretta. And so Daniel was first on my show October 6th, 2021. And this was in the ramp up to Thy Will Be Done going to be published. And so when Thy Will Be Done came out, I got a dozen copies or so, and I was giving them to some friends. And when I went to hand a copy to one friend, she's like, Thy Will Be Done. She goes, you're into Luisa Picaretta? And I had heard the name. I knew very little. And she told me about a local cenacle where a woman who I went to the same high school. She was a couple years ahead of me. I knew her sister. And next thing you know, it took a while. When I first got in touch with Maureen about joining her cenacle, and she told me it was an hour and a half from 6 a.m. to 7:30 Monday through Friday. I was like, there's no way I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning to do this. And she got back in touch with me a few months later, January of 2022, and said, you know, God put your name on my heart, and I'm just letting you know we're meeting if you want to join us. So I joined the next morning, and for the last 2.5 years I've been on that call regularly, reading through the Book of Heaven. And I know you've done a ton of work in regards to her writings, but you were my introduction to it. And since then, I don't even know if you're aware, the last Wednesday of each month is Divine Will Wednesday here. And I've developed a relationship with a good friend, Peter DePalma, and he manages to get me some great guests. I've had Mother Gabriel, Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso.
Yeah, Peter's a great guy.
Yeah, and so really grown. And then, of course, there was a lot of hullabaloo that went on this year between Father Mosley and then the article in the French newspapers condemning Louisa's writings, and then that was picked up by the Archbishop in Colorado, and then to get the news a couple of weeks ago that her writings had been given a nihil obstat, and that her canonization process, which had been paused, not stopped, and definitely not permanently stopped, but paused, that pause has been lifted. And it's all systems go now. So,
and that's what everybody knew watching Louisa, is that the devil's rage is always a sign that the victory is imminent.
Yeah.
He was so angry.
Yeah.
In spite of all his attacks, knowing that the Vatican was about to approve Louisa.
And, so we're looking forward to that canonization. The sooner the better. But it's interesting here how you've tied in, and I didn't have that timeline that ties it in with this whole ET deception that whoever's planning and started the plan right after her passing. You know, I've been through the volumes, and I think 1.5 times now, and it's just like in some way. And I when I say this, I'm not equating Louisa's writings with Scripture. What I find is that if you could read the same passage in the Bible, three times a month apart, and you get three completely different messages from it based on what your experience has been and what God is revealing to you as you read it. And the same thing is happening for me with Louisa's writings, in that the second time through I'm picking up on things that I didn't pick up on the first time through. And how much Jesus has revealed to her. It's and through her then to us. And so, for those that are listening, we'll probably spend maybe half of the next segment. We'll talk about briefly each of the parts in the book where you refute the ET, and then we can talk more about Louisa and this battle between the fiat and the anti-fiat. So if you're listening, please don't go away. I promise you the second segment's going to be great, but we do have to take a short break and take care of some business. We'll be right back with Daniel O'Connor. Don't go away.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to thank you for being with us today for whatever part of the 2 hours. We're here Monday through Friday on 800 AM, WTMR 4 to 6. You can also listen to us over WTMR's website. They have a WTMR radio app if you have a smartphone or tablet. It comes through crystal clear around the world. And you can always, if you miss a show or want to re-listen to a show, you can pick it up on our website at inhissign.com. Click on Content and then Podcasts, and you'll be able to listen to the recordings, even that recording from October the 6th, 2021, when I first had our guest Daniel O'Connor on. Again, Daniel's a professor, State College of New York, as well as an author, hosts his own YouTube channel, and has his blog at dsdoconnor.com. So, Daniel, before we went to the break, I mentioned maybe we can just take a quick look at maybe the a couple, if not all, the parts that the book's broken up to. And the book we're talking about is Only Man Bears His Image, and it really refutes everything that has to do with extraterrestrials, UFOs, non-human intelligence, artificial intelligence, of which there is none. That's part of, you know, you get some credence there because your mechanical engineering and computing background. And, you know, it may seem like AI. Even back in the 80s, I worked for an insurance company that was talking about AI, and basically it was just a computer program that would, you gave it so much input and it would spit out answers for you. But it was all programmed. It wasn't It wasn't sensual or rational on its own. And
AI is a marketing term.
Right.
It's a marketing term to make software sound fancier.
Yeah. There you go. So when you refute it, in part one, and again, the five parts in the book can actually be read as individual parts. You don't have to read one after the other. But in part one, you talk about the biblical case of why the CT, AI, UFO stuff is a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tried my best to set it up even as individual chapters. So the chapters are, you know, I don't know, 20 or so pages each, approximately. I tried to set it up so that even those could be read individually. I'm sure I didn't fully succeed in that, but I understand that very few people have time to read such a big book. So, you know, my hope is that people see the table of contents and use that as simply a reference work so they can look up individual topics as need be. But yeah, part one, the biblical case, obviously as Catholics and as Christians, we above all look to Scripture as the Word of God. And the Bible certainly repeatedly and clearly rules out aliens. But even before you look to any individual verse therein, the key is to settle your existential approach to the faith. And you actually have to decide what your existential approach to something is before you assimilate individual doctrines of that thing. And with Christianity, and with the Bible, you have to first basically understand that this is it. Christianity is it. God isn't giving this as just some step in the direction of some other infinitely greater motion towards our ultimate evolutionary destiny or something. When you look at the salvation history of the Bible and the greatest private revelation ever, that of Jesus to Luis Picaretta, that confirms this. When you look at the salvation history of the Bible, that's not missing any chapters. And that's why one of my chapters in the book is precisely that. Salvation history is missing no chapters. If, you know, all of the ET promoters, they will concede, the honest ones at least, they will concede that the revelation of extraterrestrials, as I mentioned in the beginning, would be the biggest revelation ever. It would radically change everything. And I've got a quote here from a Catholic seminary theology professor. And he is... So this is a supposedly Orthodox-minded Catholic seminary professor teaching. This is what he wrote, and I'm just quoting him. And by the way, he writes this advocating for belief in aliens. He says that when we discover aliens, it will call into question cherished religious doctrines. It will result in a reorientation of our limited terrestrial belief systems. And he says, two millennia of theology. He says 2,000 years of theology that has had an anthropocentric myopia. In other words, a human-centered nearsightedness, which is at odds with science. And he goes on and on, and he says, discovery of aliens, the day of disclosure, as they say, will wholly, completely redefine our conceptions of God and creation. And he goes on and on. I don't want to bore you guys by reading his whole page there.
Mm-hmm.
But in one, he's crazy and delusional, but in one sense, he's at least accurate. Yeah, belief in aliens, it changes everything about the faith. It fundamentally alters your understanding of the relationship between creator and creation. If you believe in aliens, you are basically saying that God hid 99% of himself from us in his own revelation to us. And what I would say is that if you believe that, you are accusing God of being a bad father. You're accusing God of being a bad father. You are accusing the bride of the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ, of being an adulterous bridegroom. You're accusing the Holy Spirit, who is the soul of the church, of being a monster. You are fundamentally approaching God wrongly if you think that he would hide the most monumental thing from us about creator and creation. So at the bare minimum, everyone has to admit that the Bible certainly doesn't reveal aliens. Now, some alien promoters will try to utterly twist and contort a few verses in the Bible to find grounds for believing in aliens, and I refuted every single one of them in the appendices of this book. But any honest person is at least going to admit, okay, the Bible doesn't reveal aliens, sure. But it does reveal that God made man in his own image and likeness. In the divine image, he created them, male and female, he created them. That's Genesis 1:27. That's the fundamental revelation of our nature. And what's the biggest rebellion right now that's actually kind of active in society against the natural law? Well, it's the transgender deception. It's the rejection of Genesis 1:27, that God made them male and female. But the argument that the transgender Catholic advocates make against that is they say, well, God didn't say in that verse that he only made us male and female. That's just part of the truth. That's just part of our nature, our human nature that he revealed there. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm basically almost quoting verbatim a certain Jesuit scholar who's saying, you can't use Genesis 1:27 to say that there's not other genders and that you can't change your gender. You know, the Bible doesn't say you can't change your gender. And sure, it doesn't, because it's supposed to be obvious to anyone right. who reads the Bible sincerely that you can't change your gender, that there's only male and female. That's supposed to be clear. But what we're doing today is we're no longer using the Word of God as our foundation. We're using the crazy speculations of modern scientists as our foundation. Now, what I'm begging people to do, and yes, I address the individual verses that both disprove aliens, and I refute the verses that some people use to supposedly support aliens. Yeah, I address all that in the book. But what I'm begging people to do, even more fundamentally than that, is to understand that the Word of God is not a revelation of God. It is the revelation of God. It's our foundation. It's not one insight into truth. It is the truth himself. And if you realize that, you won't even be tempted for a moment to believe in aliens.
So once you get through the part on the Bible, then you go into the Catholic case, which deals quite a bit with the catechism and folks throughout Catholic history that have talked about it directly or indirectly, right?
Yes, the Catholic case is big. Yeah. As Catholics, praise God, as Catholics, we have an even more clear grasp of the truth, since we have not only the Word of God in Scripture, we have the infallible interpretation of the Word of God in sacred tradition and in the magisterium. And all of that also, even more clearly than Scripture, settles the fact that there are no aliens. And, for many years now, I've been begging people, stick with the catechism, you'll be okay. Stick with the catechism, you'll be okay. And that's superlatively important today. But when I first started really emphasizing that, I had no idea that the catechism would also be the sure norm against the ultimate deception here and the alien deception, because the catechism blatantly says that of all visible creatures, only man is able to love God. Only man. Now, visible, you know, some theologians have claimed, oh, the catechism's poorly written, visible, angels are visible. No, they're not. St. John Paul II clearly taught angels are invisible. You know, in the Nicene Creed, we speak of all things visible and invisible. So there are visible things, which is just another way of saying corporeal, material things, and there are invisible things, namely angels and demons. So of all visible creatures, of all material creatures, human beings are the only ones, absolutely, positively only ones that God made who are even capable of loving him. Plants and animals and all that, they're beautiful. They're in God's will by, you know, Jesus talks about this all the time to Louisa. They are in God's will by default, but not by intent. And that's why human beings are so important. And maybe we'll get to this in a minute here. Jesus is constantly repeating to Louisa, the rounds are so important. The human will is so important because it's the only thing in the entire creation that can love God, in the entire material creation that can love God deliberately, that can love God intentionally. And that's why we do the rounds. We impress our love, our adoration, our glory, our praise, our thanksgiving, our fiat. We impress that on all things in the whole universe because none of them can do it themselves. Human beings, we're the only ones who can love God explicitly, which is what he ultimately wants. And by us doing the rounds, we, as the Mass says, we give voice to every creature under heaven. You know, listen to the next Eucharistic prayer. Maybe the priest will use, I can't remember which number Eucharistic prayer that's in, but the Mass gives voice to every creature under heaven because they can't do it themselves because they're not rational, because only human beings are rational. And by recapitulating all things in the divine will, we can do that for them. And you really miss the whole point of Louisa's revelations, in fact, if you don't realize that only human beings are made in God's image, that only descendants of Adam and Eve have this rational free will. And that's the importance, that's the supreme importance here of doing the rounds. We're the only ones who can do it.
Amen. And we do them on the weekends with the Santa Coloma part of Saturday. They do one round each morning and then 12 on Saturday, 12 on Sunday. So, and even they started with the prophet Daniel, right? He did the rounds.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And, okay. We're probably going to run out of time. So part three is the
Sorry about that. No,
we're fine. You just have to come back. That's all. Part three is the logical and scientific case. I think we've talked a little bit about that already, but is there something specific in here? Maybe one or two things that people would latch onto?
I'll try to be more brief. So the logical case, and that this is just as important because, of course, we have to analyze things directly by reason as well. And the the claims of the ET promoters saying, oh, that we know that that aliens are here because these UFOs, they're doing things that are scientifically impossible. And, you know, there's so much I could say about this, but I'll just zero in on this one point for today. If you are claiming that a UFO sighting consists in the scientifically impossible, that is synonymous with saying it was either preternatural or supernatural. You cannot go saying that the laws of physics are broken by a scientific thing, by a technological thing. That doesn't make any sense. The very way we discern the presence of the miraculous, and in fact, this is what Christianity is built on. Christianity is built on the presupposition that there's no physically possible way to, for example, walk on water or multiply loaves or bilocate as Jesus did or raise yourself from the dead. Those are all physically, scientifically impossible. So the fact that Jesus did them proves that he's divine. Therefore, Christianity is true. And yeah, there's a lot more to say, but that's kind of a summary of it. If you dare to go so far as to say that, oh, but aliens, they can also violate the scientific norms, you have just undermined Christianity itself. And that's why this is the ultimate apostasy, is belief in aliens who have technology that can violate science itself, belief that they're here, you cannot even possibly overstate how dangerous that view is. You have just opened yourself, you've just basically rolled out the red carpet for the Antichrist there. Now, that's all a lie. Now, you might be wondering, okay, so I'm saying, all right, what's reported in the case of UFO sightings, it's scientifically impossible. The funny thing is the ufologists themselves admit that. What they don't realize is that they are speaking nonsense by merely asserting the presence of the scientifically impossible. But here's the thing. The demons, actually, strictly speaking, even the demons can't violate the laws of nature, but they can seem to. Every single thing that has ever been reported reliably with respect to the UFOs and alien encounters and whatnot, all of them are easily capable of being replicated by those tactics that are within the ability of demonic powers. They can assume a material body from the air. And I've got a bunch of references to St. Thomas Aquinas and Father Chad Ripperger, who are probably the greatest exorcist who's speaking publicly today, to demonstrate this. And I've drawn extensively from those two sources especially, and I'll be consolidating it more in my upcoming book to make it easier to digest. But the demons, they can basically manipulate the atoms that are already present in the air to make it look like whatever they want. They can make it look like a UFO or an alien or whatever. The thing is, they can't assume an actually significantly massive body for a protracted period of time. They can temporarily possess a corpse. That's from the medieval code of canon law, even. But even that's the demons are on a leash. Of course, they can only do what God allows them to do. But anyway, they can easily do everything that's ever been reported with respect to aliens. But what they can't, ironically, what they can't do are the very things we have no proof of with aliens. The demons probably don't have long enough a leash to leave a supposedly alien body or craft for study in a lab, for example. The ufologists, they all say that we have those, but we've never had any evidence. So it's precisely the things that we have no evidence for that are beyond the capabilities of demons. And it's precisely the things we do have evidence for, you know, millions of sightings and ET counters described, that are easily within the powers of demons. So all of this fits absolutely perfectly, without a single exception, into a diabolical delusion. In preparation, I believe, for the very strong delusion of the Antichrist himself, which is why we're seeing these things exploding more than ever before in history in this, I believe, 75 to 100 years of Satan's unchaining, as Pope Leo the 13th spoke of. I believe that began in 1947 after Louisa died with the UFO deception.
Very good. I think you managed to tie in part four there as part of part three, which is fine. That's cool. That's great. And then part five, we talked a little bit earlier about AI and NHI and some of those other things as well. So what I'm really interested in, and I hadn't heard the tie between the fiat and the anti-fiat and Louisa. And so maybe we've got about 8 minutes left, Daniel, if we could kind of talk about that a little bit. And of course, you know, in the Jesus revelations to Louisa, there's much talk about multiple fiats. There was the initial fiat when God created the world. There was another, the fiat with the Blessed Mother when Jesus Christ was incarnated in her womb. And the third fiat that is to come. And that being the one of sanctity. And then, of course, now in light of the last 45 or 50 minutes in talking about the ET deception, AI, NHI, it just makes perfect sense to me that we have the fiat going up against the anti-fiat.
Yeah, the devil always apes the things of God. And if you realize the truth of what Jesus says to Louisa, you realize the essence of this third fiat that kind of started, of course, with Louisa's revelations, but will have its full exposition when the divine will reign. So we're in that middle ground right now, that we're in that middle time right now between the two. But the devil, therefore, is going to unleash his ultimate attack against that. And whenever I really look into this UFO ET deception, I see the anti-fiat being constantly reiterated. The biggest promoters, and this is what I'm focusing on in, especially in my consolidation of my bigger book here coming out in a couple months, they always end their exhortations with all we have. They say all we have to do is say yes. all we have to do is open ourselves. All we have to do is open our minds to the ETs. And Jesus is constantly telling Louisa, all we have to do is open, is give our yes to him, is give our self-will over to him. So who do you want to give your self-will over to? Who do you want to hand your very freedom over to Almighty God, to the divine will, to Jesus of Nazareth, who is the only incarnation of God? Or do you want to hand it over to some radically new category of being, which Scripture says nothing about, which church teaching says nothing about, which both, in fact, repudiate, and which also Luisa's revelations repudiate? And maybe that's what we have time here in the final few minutes, because I guess it's fitting because, you know, obviously in our previous shows here, we've talked especially about Luisa, which is still my mission. You know, the divine will is still my mission. But in terms of promoting the divine will, I feel like I also have to promote, I feel like I also have to make sure I'm refuting the anti-divine will, which I see perfectly and supremely illustrated in this ET deception. So Jesus, through Luisa, is begging us to give our self-will to him. But he's also, and plenty of different cases in his words to Luisa, reminding us, frankly, that there are no aliens. And I've got a couple of quotes here in front of me from the volumes, but really, there's so many that when you read the volumes, you realize there are absolutely no aliens. Jesus tells Luisa that there is great difference between the creation of the whole universe and the creation of man. He says, in the creation of man, there was not only the creative and preserving act, but the active act added to it, and of an activity ever new, because man was created in our image and likeness. This is why we love man so much, because he is not only our work, like with all the rest of creation, but he possesses part of our life. There's one quote. I've got a bunch of others here, but look at that one. Jesus is not referring just to Earth. Not that that would be relevant anyway, because the ufologists say aliens are on Earth. He's talking about the whole universe, and he says there's two things. There's man, that is men and women, and there's the whole rest of the universe. And with man and man alone is there the creation in God's image and likeness. And that's why this is so important. Everything is about this. Everything. I mean, from the foundation of the world to the end of the world, everything is centralized on the drama of human history. And, of course, the drama of human history is all about the fiat. Adam and Eve rejected the fiat in the garden. Jesus and Mary reversed that in their own lives. And now, finally, 2,000 years later, we're arriving at the third fiat, where the full fruit of the fiat of Jesus and Mary are about to be unleashed for those who want it. But in response, what does the devil do? He releases the anti-fiat. And if anyone's got any doubts left, just to, and I've got it all in the book there, but there's tons of other quotes from Luisa you could look at. Jesus tells Luisa that all of creation was created only for man. Man was the only purpose of creation. That man, not that man would do great things, but that he would fulfill my will. That's November 26, 1921. Elsewhere, Jesus says, so each created thing holds out my love to man. And if it were not so, creation would have no purpose. So without human beings, without the descendants of Adam and Eve, there would be no purpose to creation. The point here is God has no plan B. It's us. It's human beings. It's our fiat. It's Jesus. It's Mary. And it's what they're doing today in the world, in the church, especially through the divine will, as spoken to us by Jesus through the Servant of God, Luis Picaretta. So many other quotes here that I know I'll run over our time if I try to go through even part of them. But, if you really understand what Jesus is revealing to Luisa, you won't be tempted for a moment to believe that there's this even greater revelation coming to us from the so-called super-evolved extraterrestrials. You'll realize right away that that is a diabolical deception.
Yeah, one of the things that you do a great deal of work with is with private revelation. And obviously it's not, you know, required to be believed in order to achieve salvation. But as you're speaking, it's not just Luisa. I mean, there's been private revelation to literally hundreds of people, if not thousands, after Jesus left this planet in the ascension. And if there was going to be an ET, if there was going to be some alien that was going to come, you would think that Jesus would have mentioned it to at least one person over the last 2,000 years.
Yeah, he would have had to.
Yeah.
And the book of Amos says that God does nothing without revealing it first to his prophets. We don't have a single authentic prophecy of aliens. We have many refuting them.
Amen. Amen. Interesting. We got 2 minutes left, Daniel. Any final words, anything you really wanted to get to that we haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, man. Turn that 2 minutes into 2 days, and I'll get a little bit.
No, I know. But, I mean, the bottom line is, before we let you go, it's dsdoconnor.com is his blog. Daniel O'Connor is his name. His books are available on Amazon. Do you ship them directly, Daniel, or does everything go through Amazon?
At the moment, I don't, but I plan to start with that as soon as I get my act together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look that up again, I'll just remind you, you'll see this unbelievably massive book, Only Man Bears His Image. Don't stress. I know most people won't have the time to read that whole thing. It's a reference work. Within the next few months, I'll be coming out with a much shorter work refuting this alien deception that will actually be digestible.
Very good. And let me know when it's due to come out, and we'll get you back on to talk about it and promote
it. Will do. I'd be honored. Thank you so much for having me this time as well.
Yeah, no problem, pal. We only had a minute to chat before we went live, and it was a pleasure to meet you back in May. You and Christine Watkins, who I've had on a number of times, were both at Epiphany Church there in nearby Bluebell, Pennsylvania. So I'm sure some of our listeners were there as well. So it's always great to have you on, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll get you back, like I said, when that other book comes out.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much. Keep up the great work, brother. God bless you.
You too, Daniel. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon. God bless. Bye-bye now. And like I said, I was trying to get Daniel when the book first came out the beginning of the year, and because of his school schedule, and then unfortunately his mother passed away over the summer, and finally able to get to him today. And even when we were at Epiphany back in May, get to spend about 20 or 30 minutes with him at lunchtime, talking about all things ET and Louisa Picaretta and what have you. So a wise man, and somebody that you may want to keep an eye out for, especially as things start to progress. Once again, on this Wednesday, the time has flown by. The 2 hours have come to an end. So, again, thank you for all that you do for us here. Thank you for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, my prayer is that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.